Fantastic. I'm Susan Saunders, and boy, do I have a treat for everybody today. The amazing, the talented, the former radio specialist turned stand-up comedy genius, Bill Engvall, is on the phone with me, and he's going to be at Illinois State University's Braden Auditorium during a family weekend, October 3rd. Hello, Bill.
Hello, Susan. How are you?
Very good. I'm afraid I'm waking you up early in the L.A. lifestyle.
Well, you are, but if I've got to be woken up, it's better by someone like you than some guy.
Well, that's very nice to hear. I'll put on my Good Morning Bill voice for you.
There you go. And by the way, we need to clarify something. My DJing was not legitimate like what you do. My DJing involved the phrase, gentlemen, get out your wallets, here comes Cheyenne.
It's still nice to know what it's like to be behind the microphone in a studio where the audience is invisible. You've had that experience, and now you know a live audience is much more fun. So,
I don't know how you do it. I mean, because you don't know. I mean, you could be up there doing the best job you can. I mean, you don't know that somebody's in their car and not going, she sucks.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And, Bill, I'm a big fan of your comedy. I have been Here's Your Sign Christmas album or a Christmas song is one I play here on WJBC every single year, which is super cool. So I want to catch up on all things latest in Bill. And the first topic that I've got to ask you about is the fact that you made the headlines for selling a nice house in L.A. What's that like?
Yeah, that was really weird. My wife showed me that. I guess that's when you know you've made it, when you're in hot properties. My wife and I, the kids are grown now, so my wife and I had this really beautiful home in Manhattan Beach, and we just downsized. We just didn't need that much room, so now we have a condo on the beach, and it's just me, her, and Jake, the dog, and it's more just you realize, okay, I really don't need this much around me anymore, because the kids, it's like just, I mean, when we moved, I swear to you, I threw out no less than 40 trophies, but it wasn't trophies for like championship or second place. It was like attended most practices and most energetic.
Did you have to?
We really got to stop rewarding kids for really doing nothing.
Now, did you ask the kids permission just to make sure they weren't going to be upset? Do you mind if I get rid of these?
But the thing, of course I did. But the problem is when you call me and say, "Hey, can I get rid of your trophies?" They're like, "Yeah, I don't even know why you held on to them this long."
Now, when you were moving from one house to another, I'm assuming you had already kind of moved your personal possessions over to the new property, so you weren't having people knock on the door going, "Hey, can I do a walkthrough while you're in your PJs?"
The thing with the moving was my wife hired these movers to come in, and I said, "Look, we're going to move. Let's do it right. Let's just hire people to come in and box it up, and so we don't have to do it." Well, she can't do that because she's so type A. So by the time the actual mover showed up, she'd already boxed everything up, and the guy and we had moved it over ourselves. And the guy looks at me and goes, "I just got to take this one table, that's it?" And I go, "Yeah, pretty much, yeah."
But I thought that's the sign of celebrity, when you're like, "I don't have to ask a buddy to borrow his truck."
And apparently I'm not a celebrity then, because actually I wouldn't have to borrow a truck because I have a truck. But in fact, it was so funny, before people knew who I was, everybody thought I was their pool boy, because I was the only one in my neighborhood that had a truck.
Now, were there people in your neighborhood that didn't realize, "Hey, I lived next to Bill Engvall until his property went up for sale"?
They all kind of knew. I don't think the thing that was funniest was that nobody knew that you could afford that kind of house being a comedian. That blew their mind more than
Yeah, because you got a nice price for it. That's one of the things you learn in celebrity gossip columns, is that exactly what you sold the house for.
Yeah, and I just love this whole day and age of, 24-hour news. It's like, really, you really think people care? This is what happened, that Bill sold his house.
He made a profit. I was excited for you.
Yeah, he made a profit. I do think that people, people say weird things to you. We had a woman who lived down the street who was kind of the block nut job, and everybody knew it. But when we first moved in, she comes rollerblading up to the house. She's probably like at 70. She comes rollerblading up to the house wearing spandex, smoking a cigarette, and she goes, "So what do you do that you can afford this kind of house?" And I go, well, I'm a comedian. She goes, good God, you make that kind of money telling jokes? I'm like, okay, you can move on now because you're creeping me out. This is really weird.
And I'm so glad I picked this neighborhood. I thought with a certain price tag, you would get less crazy. Not always true.
No, you actually, the bigger the price tag, the more the crazies you get and the more entitlement there is.
Now, Bill, we are excited to have you at Braden Auditorium on Saturday, October 3rd, and I want everybody to get their tickets still available.
I'm really honored that they picked me for family weekend. That's really nice.
Well, because you're one of those great comics that everybody can see. You know, there are some comics that go a little blue, and even though you were a big celebrity on the blue-collar comedy tour, you're not a dirty comic. So
Right. Well, that's what I try to tell other comedians, you know, young comedians, is you can talk about whatever you want. I mean, just do it clean, and people don't care. You know, listen, I'm not Disney on Ice. People don't have to worry about me swearing and stuff like that. It's like, you can do this without all that.
Well, I was going to ask, since you have made it all the way up through the comedy ranks and then spread out into movies and other television projects, and congratulations again. I talked to you before you got kicked off of Dancing with the Stars, but making it as far as you did was an extreme accomplishment.
That was the only comedian to ever get to the final.
I was very impressed in the effort that you put into that. when you've made it to this point, you've got, I'm sure, a number of young people talking to you, asking the question, how do I break into the comedy business? And I'm seeing less and less comedy clubs around. So what do you tell them?
Well, first off, if I had to start over today, I doubt seriously I'd make it. It is tough. When I was in it in the 80s, you know, comedy was peaking and, you know, there was a million clubs and you could add all the work you wanted. I just tell them that, you know, you just got to get stage time whenever you can and as much as you can. I don't care what, you know, you can't, I don't, these days, you know, and the other problem is that these days, you know, people put 5 minutes of stuff on YouTube and all of a sudden they're a sensation. It's like, you still got to be able to do an hour, like at the show there, you know, there's going to be a 90-minute show. It's like, 5-minute YouTube videos are fine, but, you know, you can't just keep repeating it. So
musicians have that problem. They have one hit song and they can't fill 60-minute slot in a concert, let alone a 2-hour slot as a headliner.
Yeah, it's like, so, I don't know if it's just our attention spans are getting smaller, but I just tell young comedians and performers, I go, just get as much stage time as you can. I mean, even if it's just a guy doing a one-nighter in a coffee shop or, whatever, you just got to, because... Like you said, there's not that much stage. There's not that many clubs anymore, and it's sad because I think that people need comedy. They need to laugh, especially this day and age. I mean, I think hopefully it'll get a resurgence. I mean, everything's cyclical, so hopefully it'll come back.
Tell me about the show you're doing at ISU. Are you working out material for maybe a future special?
Actually, the people that come see the show are going to get to see a sneak preview of the special I just shot. It's called Just Selling for Parts. And we talk about everything from Dancing with the Stars to my having a knee replacement, getting shingles, getting a kidney stone, having a crazy gene in my family that I pray doesn't raise its head in my lifetime, to my wife and I dealing with being alone and the M word showing up.
M-word. What's the M-word?
The menopause word.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Let's save that for Saturday.
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, it's like the other day we're sitting there having breakfast, and she said, hey, tell me about your old girlfriend. And I'm like, boy, that's when you know you've been married a long time, when your wife actually wants to think about you with other women. And then I realized it was kind of an insult, because it was like, she's saying, hey, tell me about the time when women found you attractive.
Oh, wow. tell me about the times when Bill's out on the street and people want to come up and say hi. What's the number one thing they want to talk to you about now? Dancing with the Stars, Here's Your Sign, or Sharknado 3?
Nobody's brought up Sharknado 3 yet. I saw it on Twitter. It was a big deal, but usually it's 50-50 between Dancing with the Stars and Here's Your Sign. Sharknado 3, when they called, I said, I got to do this.
Yes, you should.
I said, my only prerequisite is I get eaten by a shark. And they said, oh, you do. I said, okay, great, I'm in.
And was it hard to get eaten by a shark in the show? I mean, was it physically difficult, or was it a big, giant green screen?
Basically, all you had to do was fall down.
And you're all good. But when people come up and talk to you about Dancing with the Stars, do they ask you the question I'm going to ask, which is, are you still dancing at all?
That's the overriding question. And I say, I do my honky-tonk, but... Yeah, I'm not going to go just break into a tango somewhere, but I did enjoy it. It was a lot of fun, a lot of pain and hurt, but overall, they called me today and said, we need you for Monday, I'd be there.
And it was an incredible, unexpected boon to your celebrity, wasn't it?
Oh, my God, 12 million people a week for 13 weeks, you can't buy that.
It's an absolutely incredible show that people don't realize you should fight to be on, because it has reinvigorated a lot of careers.
Although I think they're starting to get to the bottom of the barrel now. They got Gary Busey on this week, so.
But he's watchable.
That ought to be a train wreck.
And nobody said you had to be good on that show to succeed.
Nope. Obviously, I got on it.
Oh, but you were good. Any other television projects that you're working on, or movie projects?
We're always working on stuff. There's some people I'm talking to about two different types of shows. And then what's been really interesting is the independent film market's really opened up to me. I just last year did a family faith-based movie called Catching Faith that's in Walmart and on Amazon. And then I'll be doing another one about a Christmas movie sometime in December. And then I just signed a contract to play a serial killer in another one. So,
like, no lie? Like the serious serial killer, not like a prank?
When they called me and I said, dude, have you seen me? And he goes, yeah. He goes, I know exactly who you are. He said, that's exactly what I want. And he said, and that's who I want for the first 20 minutes you're on screen. And the last 5 minutes, you're going to scare the hell out of people. I went, okay.
Wow. Well, let's not talk about the name of that show, because that could be a spoiler alert extraordinaire. But
yeah.
I'm not sure I'm ready to see you mean.
You don't have to be mean to be a serial killer. You just got to be sick.
Oh, wow. That's a change and a half. All right. Last question I have for you, Bill. Who are you watching right now? Because you've made it to the point where you are one of the top comedians in the country. As far as the next generation, who out there makes you laugh?
Kevin Hart makes me laugh out loud. I mean, I could never do the show like he does it, but I literally sit there and just have headphones on and laugh out loud.
He is hysterical. I totally agree with that.
When he did that bit about his kid cussing for the first time, I thought I was going to have an aneurysm.
And you haven't run into anybody in the comedy world trying to steal classic Bill Engvall stuff, have you? I know that's the biggest crime you can commit in comedy.
It's kind of foolish to do that because people kind of know it. So.
Now more than ever, welcome to the internet. Everything has been recorded. Now you've got the great defense. That was my joke first. It's time stamped. Well, Bill, it's been a pleasure to talk with you. I know I'm not allowed to keep you any longer because you're a busy, busy man, but we will see you again October 3rd at Illinois State University, a part of Family Weekend 2015. Folks, tickets are available through Ticketmaster, very reasonably priced. I hope you don't, I hope you aren't offended, but the tickets really are kind of nice. Anywhere between $33 and $45 a ticket for you, I think, is a deal.
Well, no, I like to keep the ticket price down, but there are people in seats.
And it's going to be a good show. I recommend it highly. Learn more about all things Bill Engvall at his website, BillEngvall.com. We'll be right back here on WJBC after this.